Call to order the budget committee meeting. We have a published agenda. We said we would meet at 9:15 in this room. We have enough to constitute a quorum, and we begin with item number one, which is public comments. Anyone want to make any public comments? All right, thank you. Number two, presentation of Distinguished Budget Award.
Well, thank you, sir. I will get to that momentarily, but good morning to you, sir, members of council. Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to present to you next year's proposed budget and five-year financial plan. Glad that the budget is out of our hands and on your desk. It's hot off the press, but it's a good budget, and we're proud of it. My hope today is that successful in some way of framing the budget and what's in it, what assumptions were made in its creation, so that it provides a good framework. You have a good feel for when you start your budget deliberation process, which I guess starts as soon as you open up the book, but probably more formally the first day of committees, which would be not next Monday, but the Monday after. What I want to say is before we get much further, I want to thank department heads and their staffs. Producing not just next year's budget, but the five-year financial plan is a pretty large undertaking. It takes up a lot of time and resources, so I wanted to thank them. I wanted to specifically thank Marcy and her team, Jonathan and Peggy and Shauna and other members of her team that have put in a lot of hours on this. And that's a good segue, actually, for the item that you just mentioned, sir. The town was able to receive, was presented with the Distinguished Budget Award from the GFOA, and it's a pretty big deal, and a lot of credit goes to Marcy and her staff. And if you would come forward, Marcy, and perhaps present it to the mayor and council.
Yes, sir. Okay. Don, could you come up? It's our pleasure to present to you the National Government Finance Officers Association Distinguished Budget Award. This award represents a significant achievement by the town and reflects a commitment by administration and the Administrative Services Department staff to meet the highest principles of budgeting. In order to receive this award, the town has to satisfy nationally recognized guidelines. These guidelines are designed to assess how well the budget serves as a policy document, a financial plan, an operations guide, and a communications device. Your guidance and support, along with the efforts of Jonathan Edwards, created a budget that received an outstanding 21 out of 27 criteria, an overall outstanding for all four guiding principles and the Distinguished Budget Award. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job. Good Thank job, you, Mark. Sir.
Mr. Mayor, I think in the absence of any press here today, we might want to.
Do you hear that, Tom? No press. Fire away, man.
I think we ought to probably send it over, maybe take out a nice ad and put that up there so people see that we were handling our finances in the proper way.
Agreed.
Thank you, Mr. Santos, members of council, Mayor. So we're going to go ahead and begin our budget presentation. What we're going to do is start at really the 30,000-foot mark and start to zoom in slowly. And first we'll start with the construction of the five-year plan with a review of the economic indicators, and then we're going to work all the way through to the proposed budget and down to each department individually, and then on to the CIP. So we're going to start with the review of economic indicators. Some of this information was provided to you at council, and Marcy will lead this. You go ahead.
Yes, sir. So included in your budget is the economic indicators report through February 28, 2019. We constantly focus on the main areas shown here, building and construction data, along with home sales data, business licenses, and revenues from accommodations tax, hospitality tax, and retail sales. We also monitor annual data, In this report, we have included the Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce Regional Economic Outlook. The total number of building permits issued for the first 8 months is up 3% from fiscal year 2018 and 5% from fiscal year 2017. Commercial permits are down from the prior year, mostly due to a spike in commercial permits in December of 2017, which was right before an impact fee rate increase. The number of commercial permits are close to the number that were issued in fiscal year 2017. Single-family permits are up 126, or 31% above fiscal year 2018, but only 2.3% above fiscal year 2017. December saw a spike of 111 single-family dwelling permits issued, which may be due to the discussions at the time of a building permit allocation system. Business license tax is a major component of the town's operating revenues. It is important to monitor classes of businesses, number of businesses, and gross income of those businesses, as all of those can impact revenues. The revenue from business license through February is up 8%. Shown here is the town's accommodations tax on a monthly basis. Receipt of these funds run 2 months in arrears. As of the end of December, revenues were 3% above December of 2017, which was 16% above December of 2016. We continue to experience growth, but at a more moderate pace. For the same time period, local sales tax was up 1%, and hospitality was up 3.3%. During the year, as annual data is available, we will include it in our economic indicators report. Staff recently attended the Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce Economic Outlook Conference. Some of this data is included in your economics indicator report. In general, the outlook indicates a more moderate growth, just as the town is experiencing and has projected. These were just some of the highlights. Any questions?
Can I ask one thing? This isn't a question, but it's just a comment kind of to set the table. So what I'm hearing is there'll be growth, it'll be less than it's been in the past, and there will be a financial implication of that that we're going to have to deal with.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah. Yes, I'd like to ask one question, please. Marcy. Thank you so much for all of this, and again, congratulations on the award. So I just want to make sure we clarify or highlight one of the things you said. There were several times you mentioned that either permits or numbers associated with various revenues, fees, et cetera, kind of spiked in before something happened. And certainly one of them, which was very impactful, was impact fees going up. At this point, just from a factual statement, would you say that we have slowed down in terms of new revenue from impact fees, new permits from impact fees?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And we have what you'll find out in the CIP and throughout this presentation is we've taken that into account. We have re-projected the current year because it is coming in less, mm-hmm. and we've followed that through to the out years.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, next is zooming down a little further into the five-year general fund financial plan. And I have a little laser pointer on here that I'll use in a moment as we start marching through the slides. But the goal of the financial plan, none of this would surprise you, is to deliver a plan that is balanced over the five-year period. It's good financial planning. It should be a guiding document for us, especially as you're faced with difficult decisions on community needs. The first year of that financial plan is the proposed budget. So this is how it shakes out on the expenditure side of the five-year plan. You can see my little highlighted red laser here. FY 2020, that's the proposed next year budget, first year of the financial plan. And then here are the out years through year five. We break down the expenditures into three categories. Here they are over here. One is compensation. That is everything that it takes to hire an individual, to support an individual. This is salary and benefits, including health care. So that's what you'll find in compensation. And then there's the operating. That's, you know, gasoline, uniforms, things like that. And then transfers out. This is money that we send from the general fund to support other things. It's to support capital. It's money that's, you know, if we were fortunate enough to have savings from the prior year, you know, that gets sent to the capital plan and divided into transportation and stormwater projects. It is money to support debt. That's what you'll see in the transfers out. So year one is the proposed budget. That's about $53 million, under $53 million for compensation. This includes a 4% on average wage hike recommendation for employees. I'll get more into that as we get into the presentation. But in total, for the first year, is $89 million. That is our general fund total expenditure that is proposed to you. And then you'll see it going forward throughout. And the big change, there it is. The big change really is in not the proposed budget for next year, the budget after. And that's where you'll see a pretty large hike recommended in compensation, and that almost entirely is to fund the fire department strategic plan. So year one is the proposed budget for next year. Year two is listed just below, has the fire department strategic plan. It also includes the recommendation, we don't know what that is yet, for a compensation study. We have $48,000 in the budget for next year to do it. You know, positioned ourselves to go ahead and conduct a wage and classification study to see how our positions rank against others that we compete with in the area. We have money to conduct that study next year with the hopes of implementation in year two, as specified. And also one school resource officer is being requested for the second year. This is to coincide with the opening of Lucy Beckham High School. And you know that they are phasing enrollment at that school in. So at final enrollment, you'll see another SRO down here being added in year four. Also mentioned, and this is important to point out, you see mandatory retirement in both years two, three, and four. This is very significant. In order to make the state retirement system, the plan, whole, they are requiring a 1% every year increase by all the communities and counties and other entities that are involved in the retirement system. This is a big deal because it's 1% of our total payroll. So just thinking in round numbers, if our total payroll is $33 million, that's $330,000 of new money that is required every year. So after year four, you're looking at, doing the math real quick, $1.2, $1.3 million forever that the citizens of the community have to incur of new money just to meet the mandatory retirement requirement. So that is the expenditures in the five-year financial plan. By the way, none of this is concrete going forward. None of this is concrete. You have the power to shift, shape, alter as you see fit. You get to determine the limits of government.
Eric, may I ask, going back, you mentioned the fire department strategic plan. We recently dealt with that. Is there any other increase in staff in round numbers?
No, sir. What we have, the biggest increases is year two, the strat plan, as you mentioned. We have a pretty good increase in this year's proposed budget, not this year, the new proposed budget in front of you, because that handles or has money for what will end up being 12 new firefighters. So we have six that we have incorporated into the budget this current year. And then if we are fortunate enough to get the grant money, we have another $100,000 that's in the proposed budget to bring on six more. So that's a big chunk of personnel. Outside of the fire department and outside of the SROs that were mentioned, the only other positions are three that I'll mention to you in the proposed budget. I'll get to that in a moment, for departments. And the others will be any type of positions that are needed. Usually out in year five, we have it there, in year four, which will be CIP positions that we just need individuals at some of our, to be able to handle some of our capital projects as they get built. The best example is in your budget for next, in your proposed budget, is Mr. Peel in the Public Services Department. We need another individual once the gym comes online. So there'll be other sort of capital projects that are going to require some individuals as we go forward, but nothing to the scale of what you're seeing in year two.
Okay. Ms. Lane?
So in fiscal year 2021, that increase of approximately $4.7 million is 6%, and then it's 2% a year after, and I know you said that's to accommodate the strategic plan that we voted in terms of meeting the national standards or whatever for the firefighters. But in the vote and discussion that night, we specifically said we want it to be aspirational and perhaps spread out over the 5 years rather than trying to think that we can do it all in 1 or 2 years. And so I guess the question is, since it's 6% and then all of a sudden 2, 2, and 2, why wouldn't we present it as being perhaps more evenly divided over the years so we have more time to prepare?
You can absolutely do that. That would require going to the public each additional year for ad valorem taxes. And so you may decide, especially since Fire Station 4 will be coming on by this time. That's our fire new fire station. It's going to be dismantled and then rebuilt. The fire department strategic plan calls for an additional fire ladder unit, which is going to require about 14, 15 individuals. So by year two, you're going to need, say, roughly half of those half of that personnel anyway. And so why not? The idea was, and the plan here, is that why not just reach for it all at the same time rather than having to go back to the public every year?
I just think it goes against what we talked about that night. Am I off base on that? That we were saying, the reason being, you know, one, the question of whether we have to go back to the public for more tax money every year is a question mark, I think. We might be able to figure out other ways to pay for it, whether it be business growth, new economic development that we're working hard on. So I just wondered, again, when you're presenting a budget and we're talking about a five-year strategy, why do we want to front-load that? Because let's face it, once they're hired and once they're part of the staff, they are forever part of, not forever, but, you know, long-term part of the expenditures of the town.
Good points. Please understand, at the staff level, we're obligated to fulfill council's direction. And the fire department strategic plan was amended at the last council meeting to include this direction. And whether it's aspirational or not, it's strictly a council decision. But what the five-year plan is hoping to do is to just chart out a path. If you choose to continue in that direction, then here's a path to get it done. And remember, this is the second year. This isn't next year's budget in front of you, which is the most sort of immediate. It starts with the year after.
Mr. Kinnett?
Yes, sir. The aspirational language was not in our council motion. That was something that I believe the mayor said. He also said it after our after my proposal to have add public safety workers to the exemption for the building permit allocation program. It's just kind of dicta. Should we call it in court, kind of an opinion or a it wasn't central to our decision. It was someone on council's opinion that it should be or could be aspirational, but the motion itself was clear that the comprehensive the fire department strategic plan was being augmented with the proper staffing. Aspirational, and that language of aspirational, was not in the motion.
May I add?
Just like Mr. Roro,
I think this is a really good discussion, and I hope we have it. We have a hard task in front of us, and that's to balance or to look at a strategy for a five-year budget. But I don't think it's time to have this discussion yet. We haven't talked about revenues. We haven't talked about opportunities, maybe. And then after we see all of that, then I think we can have a discussion about how do we fill in the gaps. But I'm not trying to stop the discussion. I'm just saying it might be a little bit early until after we see the revenue projections and see what we can do about that.
Mr. Santos.
Yeah, thank you. This is why in the meeting I raised the concern that it was supposed to come back to the Finance Committee before council voted on it. This is a prime reason why I raised that concern. And I remember and I'm sure it's part of the minutes, it was said that just because we get the grant doesn't mean we're going to move forward. So this is just for information only, but we're not there yet, and I agree with Tom. And that's why I was upset that this went to council without coming to Finance Committee first. It's like the federal government. They're making promises now that we're going to have to try and keep years down the road, and I think we're heading in that same direction. So anyhow, I just want to make sure for the record that that's why I was questioning it at a council meeting, because I thought that it should have come back to the Finance Committee as the Finance Committee asked. Thank you.
Ms. Lane.
Okay, so two more points. First of all, I believe it was also our Fire Committee Chair who said that this increase in the strat plan would be something that we would work towards over the course of 5 years. If you do the math on the first year versus the fifth year in terms of expenditures, and again, I understand where Tom is coming from in terms of not spending too much time now. I wasn't intending to do that. I thought I was making a quick point. But anyway, it's only 2.3% a year average increase, which is a little easier for the public to swallow in terms of where money's going, I believe, than a 6% increase followed by 2%. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw those 2 points
out. Mr. Kinney?
I believe one day last week we had a pretty serious fire. I hope everyone on council got a chance to drive past that home. And the size of the town has increased. The traffic has increased. It's just not viable to keep the same size fire department for a 50,000-person town as we grow to 100,000 people. It's just not viable. So I'd just like to point that out. It's not to slight the firefighters in any way. I've quoted at the meeting that they're excellent firefighters. It's our job to make their risk as little as possible. And the distances traveled, you can go to that Cassidy Court and take a look at the property. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. But there was a total building loss, and there was three firefighters rolling up there. Please drive by while it's still there before they knock it down. But you can see what we don't want. We don't want that same building to be an occupied building next time. We need to increase the staffing.
All right. Mr. DeMora, if we can move on to the next.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. So here are the revenues for the five-year financial plan. As Ms. Kotoff alluded to early on with her review of economic indicators, the licenses and permits, these are your building permits, business licenses, are relatively short in growth. There is growth, not much. It's pretty steady going forward. Largest area of growth for us will continue to be property taxes and sales taxes. And then we have some limited growth sort of up and down the line based on the information that we know to date. And so that produces what you see at the bottom. It's a comparison on the next slide of what you just saw against expenditures. So it matches up as you go out into the 5 years. I think we've discussed that. And now we get into going from the five-year plan to year one of it, which is the proposed budget that's in front of you. And so the strategy, which hasn't changed in developing it, is that the budget is consistent with our sort of guiding documents that I like to refer to them as. It's our strategic plan, not just the greater strategic plan, but also the strategic plans that have been adopted by departments, by committees of council or council. The comprehensive plan, where it talks to certain priorities. I can think of the call for open space in the comprehensive plan that we're starting to move towards even more. You'll start, and you'll see it in the CIP with a project for a greenway in the community. And the budget's balanced, and the focus is that it maintains a level of service, and it addresses some demands for increased service, which is in the fire department for next year, compensation for employees, and capital investment, which is significant and continues to be strong, which I'll cover in a second. This is how all of our funds add up for next year, and this takes some explanation. Total for this current year has risen now to just under $221 million. Being proposed for next year is just under $138 million. But this is why. If we go to the top line, the general fund, and we go to the current budget for the general fund is $98 million, and you're seeing a dramatic decrease to $89 million. That's our general fund. This is where most of our services occur. please know that this does not represent a reduction in service to citizens. What almost entirely makes up the difference in the reduction is, as you know, there has been money appropriated from general fund, from fund balance, to take on certain council priorities. So we appropriated money from fund balance for acquisition of land, for settlement of lawsuits. That goes right into the general fund and has inflated the number for this current year. But that won't be the case next year. If you pulled out those allocations and appropriations of general fund money, the general fund increase is about 3%. The debt service fund is proposed to increase. This contains the first payment of the $35 million bond that we just finished up a couple months ago. State accommodations tax is shown to be down, but that is not, that does not mean the performance of ATAX is down. It means we have allocated some of that fund balance money into projects. And the capital asset fund, this 100, you know, we started the year, this current year, with our capital asset fund somewhere in the 80s. And then we had the $35 million bond added to it, and then it always includes money as well that gets rolled over from projects not yet complete. So it inflates the number. But we're looking at another strong recommendation with the just under $61 million allocation in the capital funding for next year, which is really tremendous. So in total, just under $138 million is the total of all funds for the budget. And Marcy, you want to talk about revenues?
So now we're looking at just the general fund. So overall, the revenues decreased 9%. But as Mr. DeMora said, this is due to a decrease in the one-time use of fund balance that's in the current year. Otherwise, general fund revenues, excluding the use of fund balance, are growing at 3%. And this chart can be found on page 7 in your budget document. The pie chart reflects allocation of revenues by funding source. Property and other taxes comprise 42% of all revenues and is projected to increase at 5%. This increase is due to property values and projected sales tax. The increase in state and federal grants is the anticipation of the award and acceptance by town council of the staffing for adequate fire and emergency response grant, or the SAFER grant, which has been filed for 6 firefighters. The proposed local match is the use of one-time fund balance for the first partial year. Intergovernmental revenue is up 15% with the inclusion of the additional funding from the school district for SROs. Fines and forfeitures are reduced to reflect the trend of alternative sentencing and how indigent individuals pay assessed fines. The fiscal year 2019 budget utilizes a large amount of fund balance that is not mirrored in fiscal year 2020, which is why you see that down at 73%. The Finance Committee will receive more detail on the fiscal year 2020 proposed revenue projections at its April 1st meeting.
Okay, thank you, Marcy. On the expenditure side, this slide takes some explaining as well. I think you'll see the changes, you'll see a lot of reductions, and there are several things going on, but what's important to say is that there are no recommendation decreases in levels of service to the public. What goes on instead is certain one-time allocations to the budget this current year are not occurring again next year. A couple great examples of that. If you go to non-departmental, you'll see a massive reduction of $6.5 million. When fund balance is appropriated to the general fund, it's put in the non-departmental department. And that's where it's housed. And so because that fund balance is not being allocated, there's a major reduction, which drives a lot of this total reduction overall. You'll also see some things in other departments that are happening. You know, last year you funded $271,000 for the replacement of body cameras for the police department. That has been completed, And so that that large allocation of money comes out. And then through other departments like recreation, recreation and public services are big ones where for years a lot of the maintenance on facilities has been included inside of those budgets. We've moved the maintenance money from those budgets to our comprehensive maintenance plan where it should be. We house all of our maintenance in one place now. Same thing with our radios that we used to put into all of our departments. So you see a lot of those sort of big ticket items are being moved to our CMP, which is on our capital side, where we can manage it holistically and comprehensively every year. So overall, each of the departments includes the 4% recommended wage increase. It also includes health care costs and other things and the 1% mandatory retirement. That is throughout all the departments. Also included, are the three positions which are being proposed. This is in addition to anything that's happened in the fire department. And the first one, so if you look at planning and development, there's a development codes inspector that is critical for the department. That's included in the budget, one position. And IT and general government is proposed to receive an additional position. And in public services, that is where the additional technician that will care for the gym when it opens next door is located. So as far as personnel, you have the wage increase in there, the mandatory retirement contributions, and you have the three new positions in addition to the positions that have come on board and we're absorbing in the fire department. That is really the story throughout. You have some other expenditures in here that are important to mention. In general government alone, there is $50,000 to pay for the election next fall. There's also the $48,000 I mentioned to conduct the wage and compensation study. Inside of planning and development, there's $50,000, so we're transitioning away from the large allocation to conduct the comprehensive planning process into an allocation of money for special area plans, if council deems that that is appropriate. So once the comprehensive plan is done, if you feel there's a need to conduct a special area plan for certain areas around town and how they should look someday in the future, there will be money there for that. Let's see, I mentioned the body cameras being no longer needed next year. And, there are some other reductions in one-time uses. I'm looking through here. I mentioned the radios coming out. Some additions to uniforms in some of the departments, but that's really about it. At committee day is when we really dig into each of the respective departments' individual line items. We can talk more about that then if you'd like.
Yes, Ms. Laney.
This may be a little too theoretical, but in case it's worth mentioning, I'll mention it anyway. So on the non-departmental, where we know we have at least two major expenditures that didn't have a department to go in. If in the future, which has been discussed, we wanted to have a place where we would set aside money for the possibility if an opportunity comes along for the town to purchase land that somehow serves our citizens' interests, what department would it go under? Planning and development? Or
I think you leave it in non-departmental.
Oh.
That kind of houses insurances and things that don't fit nicely into a department. I think that would be it.
But if they weren't part of the general fund, they wouldn't show up on here anyway. We would, if we had something
correct.
Set aside. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Thank
right
you.
Now, your fund balance sort of houses that money.
Mr. O'Rourke.
When you see a $9 million in parentheses, you know, you just kind of go, oh, my goodness. But really, just to further explain the fund balance transfer to non-departmental, if we as a body did not spend any money from our fund balance for any projects next year, it's money that we wouldn't be spending. I could see that we may put it in there just in case, but it isn't as if we now have to balance all of this in the budget. And right now, all that we see, 43% again looks scary. Because looking at what we did this year, that's what will pan out. But we may not spend $6 million next year. We may decide to not do anything because there isn't any money to do it. And if that was the case, that $9 million wouldn't be $9 million.
That's right.
So I would, I like Kathy's thought in trying to project as a body what we may see next year and get that number a little bit more realistic, you know, as we can. Because I believe we have the authority, even if it's not in non-departmental, to put it in non-departmental at some point in time next year anyway.
Sure.
So I guess what I'm saying without really saying it is that looks really bad, but we control the badness of it. And it doesn't have to be a $9 million loss and a 43% loss next year if we don't want it to. We have control of that.
Yeah. Mr. Santo.
Just something, you know, recreation-wise as well. We're getting back, what is it, 7 fields, Steve? How many fields are we getting back now?
5
fields that we're getting back now. So they'll be producing some revenue for us. It might not be a tremendous amount, but certainly it'll be producing revenue that heretofore it hasn't been produced in years.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kinney?
Just on recreation, could you account for what the -6 is? Is that because the construction's done? Or
yeah, you'll see in your budget, you'll see a committee. It's almost entirely due to maintenance for recreation items. Fields, playgrounds. I don't mean the day-to-day grass-cutting stuff. I'm talking about annual-type maintenance that we've pulled out into our CMP to better manage it.
So it's not actually a cut?
That's correct.
Okay,
that's
thank
correct.
You.
Yeah, there's no cut to service and recreation. Yep.
Ms. Lanning?
I know you're probably thinking, gosh, I wish they'd just let us get through, and then I'll show them all these things. But just because of the fact that it was highlighted now, twice in our discussion. One other question is when we have something that's a subtraction from the general fund, but we know, and that term settlement or payout on settlements related to litigation, we know that the majority of this dollar amount is actually purchasing some pretty valuable property. Yeah. So will it show up somewhere in the same discussion that this is an asset, not something that's just being spent?
I can't think of a location budgetarily where it would show up. I think that's more of
a balance sheet question, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it will show up. I mean, we will have to identify where that money went and what it was spent on. And I think it'll be clear to the reader that it was to acquire property. And it was spent to act in the public's interest. I think that'll be clear to the reader.
Thank you.
And if I may add, that's a level of service that I think our citizens expect as well.
Yeah.
Just because it's not an annual budget thing, we act when the situation arises, and I think in the long run we'll all be proud of it. I really do.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, sir.
Also, with regards to the legal settlements, I mean, there's tremendous costs if we were to start to appeal things and try cases that to settle a case. To proceed with the case has a big cost factor too. So it's actually, even though it's a lot of money going out, it's less money. It's a lot of money going out at once. It's less money over time to do it prudently. I think we've done that.
Thank you. All right.
All right. So I've discussed this, just sort of the highlights, and that is that we're meeting levels of service. Pay for performance, the 4% I mentioned, the 1% pension mandates, money for the class and comp, and then capital, which we'll get to in a second. So here's our capital fund as it breaks out. I mentioned on a prior slide the difference in the two numbers on the bottom and why it's so. The $61 million, though, is really the highlight of this page, and that is that, I mean, yourselves as a body, you're putting $61 million towards capital investment. That is enormous. And there are many, many communities, many much bigger than us, who would love to be in that position. Your CIP is $34 million. That's your larger capital items. I'm going to highlight those in a second. Your comprehensive maintenance plan is your everyday maintenance of items, which includes your fleet, includes other assets and things I was just mentioning that Mr. Peel has to care for, Mr. Gergic out of the recreation budget. And then your asset replacement plan, and as well your reserves and transfers out. So, I mean, it is a significant movement towards maintenance and new capital. Your other funds, your debt service fund, this is where we pay our obligations, and it was up just over $1 million to satisfy the bond. And what it also includes is, as we get into the CIP, I'll talk more about it, it includes a recommendation for a stormwater bond, a revenue bond to support your stormwater plans. And there's ATAC. So next steps before I discuss a little about the CIP is you have your committees on the 1st. On the 9th is council, where we typically on the first meeting have a public hearing and have the first reading of the budget, knowing that it's not done yet. Just get the first reading going, and we will be checking with you about your schedules to see if we can find a committee, budget committee meeting in April. And then hopefully we'll take as much time as you need, but hopefully we can aim on the 14th of May to have final reading and adoption of the proposed budget, as well as the CIP and the financial plan. So the CIP, which extends through 2024, I mentioned it's a large financial commitment, and your priorities, if you were to just in a nutshell look at it all, we fund a lot of other things, but mostly you're moving people and water. And so you see that reflected in stormwater at $31 million in transportation, and a movement towards protecting green space, which I think you just did, or in the process of doing, using fund balance. And also the Mount Pleasant Greenway, which represents the amount of money that we are to get from the half-cent sales tax for open space. So we're proposing a revenue bond and using Greenbelt funds for the Mount Pleasant Greenway. How do we get to the recommendations you'll see in your book of how we prioritize certain projects? It is a fairly thorough analysis that we do. It often, there's lots of discussion and back and forth on the worthiness of projects, and it's a good, healthy exercise. And mostly we're debating over these items because each of these items are the themes and what each project is scored against, and you see it. Is it consistent with our plans? How big is the benefit? That's what extended benefit means. Is it just hit one neighborhood, or is it more town-wide? How much impact on the operational budget is it? Opportunity cost, what will it cost if we don't do it now? And then you'll see it goes all the way down. Is the project even feasible? Are we under a legal mandate to get it done by a court order? I don't think we've had those for a while, so that's pretty good. And does it make us more efficient? So that's what each project is scored with, and at the end, projects are put into four categories, A, B, C, and D. Those that are A are priority projects that really should be done if the money's available, and then you'll see it goes all the way down to group D, which just didn't get enough points compared to the other projects. So the good news is that for everything that was in group A, and I'll go over those projects in a moment, it's funded. And
for tab, is this in one of the tabs?
Yes, sir. It's towards the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Under CI.
One down there.
Yep.
Page 139.
The 5-year.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So you'll see all the projects that received a grade A are funded. That's what the blue means. And those that are B are partially funded. And the gray means that several B projects, as well as C and D projects, are not funded. So what are the grade A? I think I said that before, too. Sounds like I'm talking about eggs and not projects. But the Group A projects for transportation anyway, and these are funded. Park West Boulevard widening, that's moving along quickly. US 17 and Rifle Range Connector, these projects you know already. We've talked about them for a long time. The Billy Swales, final piece of Billy Swales, Patriots Point Gateway, which is the intersection improvement at Patriots Point and Coleman, and then the Shem Creek bike lanes. These are all moving forward. Other Group A projects, these are all funded. This is the public services side, is the stormwater improvement program, which you know of. It has three phases, $32 million, and it includes the two Old Village basins that were the most problematic. It provides money for construction of those, as well as one other looks to be Hubca, and it goes out through 2022. But that's the big chunk of the money for public services is to really start this stormwater improvement program. Group B projects that are funded: transportation, All America Boulevard, US 17 at a couple of locations, the Maritime Port District you're aware of down near the port, Stockdale, and more adaptive signals, which have been successful for us. Unfunded is the multi-use path in Park West. Just can't reach it with the funding we have. And here's fire. Funded projects for fire, Fire Station 4, traffic preemption, and first phase of the public safety training facility. Unfunded as of now are the fire station renovations primarily and the second phase of the training facility. We're going to be working hard. We really need to, once Fire Station 4 is done, to start renovating some of our older fire stations after that, but we don't have the money as of today. Funded recreation projects, Memorial Waterfront Park 2 and 3. By the way, at your next budget committee meeting, I plan to highlight this particular project. I know you're aware of it, but some things have kind of happened and morphed and changed over time. We were depending on federal government approval for a grant to build the pier. There's certain conditions on that. That hasn't come back to us with approvals and permits like we thought it would. And it's really coming to a point where I feel, as your administrator, that where the information has shaken out, there's another decision to be made whether you want to continue with the pier project or instead take that same amount of money and put it into the rest of the park, which is phase three. The rest of the park was the expansion of the building that's out there, second floor restaurant that we could rent out as a revenue opportunity, as well as improvements to the overflow parking area. Those two projects are just slightly under the expense of the pier, which is becoming problematic. So I plan to highlight that project at our next meeting, give you the most up-to-date information that we have, and see which direction you'd like to go. Funded, Carolina Park Phase 3, at least a portion of it. We're working on that now with Mr. Santos and Recreation Committee, and then Mount Pleasant Way, which is an effort towards green space, and then a lot of unfunded projects on the recreation side, largest being the Rifle Range Road land that we jointly own with Charleston County PRC. That does not have a funding source. These are just some projects we're finishing. And let's see, I believe that is it. So thank you. Any questions?
Yes.
On the unfunded project, could we go back to that slide for just a second? Yeah, perfect. So on these lists, again, probably because this is only my second year doing this in terms of the budget, I might be asking a stupid question, and I apologize. So if there's something on this list, let's just use the example of, I don't know, I'll just pull out in the middle, Duffy Baseball Complex. Have we ever tried in the past to go and say, hey, we'd love to have a private corporation that would then have some form of naming rights associated with it or something else that gives them the opportunity to participate in a long-term legacy way with the town?
I can't recall when we've done something like that. So the answer is
the reason I bring it up is because I mentioned this at some other meeting, but I know Tom James, Raymond James, one of the founders, said many, many times, very conservative man fiscally, said many times that the best money he ever spent was the Raymond James Stadium, and it's paid off in droves many, many times over. So it might be that there would be corporations out there that, for instance, Memorial Waterfront Park, my goodness, if they knew there was a part of it that they could get some sort of, and I don't know how, hopefully it's not offensive to people, but we'd probably take a lot of pride in knowing that corporations invested in our town.
Mr. Santel.
Well, Kathy, Memorial Waterfront Park was named Memorial Waterfront Park because of the memorial there. I think, Joe, that was your idea about having the various military, whether it's Army, Navy, all that out there. So those have been done. Duffy Complex, same thing. Those fields are named after people as well as the whole complex. So those have been done. And changing that, I don't think would be appropriate if they've already been named after somebody unless there's something new. you know, for that to happen.
Oh, I definitely am not suggesting we change the name. I'm just saying I'm saying there's ways that corporations can become involved and have, for instance, a building on the property or a something, even sometimes a couple of benches named for. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can do something.
Well, we're trying
to get
a dog park down there. We could name a dog park after somebody. I'm just kidding.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Eric, on the Mr. DeMar, sorry, on the Darby comprehensive repair, have we appraised that building to see? I know the town. I had heard the town bought it for like $200,000. I mean, it seems like a bonanza sitting on there. In the way the real estate prices have gone up in the area, and you know, we receive complaints about parking in that area all the time. It strikes me that maybe we're adding to the parking problems. We have this building which has plenty of empty space in it. Have we considered looking at appraising it and trying to figure out if long-term it's something we're going to hang on to?
Yeah. That was Mr. Santos.
Yeah, well, once again, he went to kindergarten over there, and that building houses a lot of our camps. Right now, we're actually losing money on camps because we don't have enough space, and I think Tom made a great suggestion about adding on somewhere and to be able to bond it and use the revenue that we get to pay the bond off. We can't provide enough camps for our kids. I mean,
yes,
Steve,
Mr. Mayor.
How many have we gotten signed up so far? I mean, we're way ahead, aren't we?
We're way ahead. I don't know the number of people, but yeah. In the very first day of registration, we took in over $400,000 in registration.
So then the Darby complex helps us tremendously. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not in favor of doing anything with the Darby complex other than maybe, you know, fixing it up some more. But certainly that's something that we need to keep it in the town. We need more of that kind of stuff.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Kinney.
I think I still had the floor, but I raised it at the retreat. Everything's happening in a little 20-block radius in the old village. Not everything, but most town services are disproportionately in that area, and people brought up the valid point that it's hundreds of year old neighborhood. But it's a big town. That's kind of isolated corner of town. So if so many camps are there, you know, if there's other opportunities to move them to a more convenient location, might be worth considering. Again, I asked the question, do we know the value of the building? And we don't. Because even if you sold it as residential property right near there, everything's over into seven figures. I mean,
and we have rough figures. I know we have to, for our insurance purposes, have to put a number on it. I can't recall, but does anyone have that information? No, you recall? I mean, we can get it for you.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Santos?
I can tell you what number it is. It's invaluable. You know,
especially if you live right there, and your kids can walk to the camp.
Mr. Santos has the floor.
Yeah, you need to get over this, man. It's not a south against the north. It's not. We're building a brand new stadium out there in the northern part of town. There's a lot of things going on out there, so you need to get over that. Nobody thinks that way except you. I'm telling you, we're not doing that. We got a lot of camps going on out of Park West. A lot of them. They're using
point of order.
There's a lot of stuff that's going on out there. You need to get with the recreation department and let them tell you what's going on before you make those statements.
Hey, point of personal privilege, Mr. Mayor. I was addressed personally.
Hang on a second. You may be recognized, but point of personal privilege, according to Robert's rules, applies to audio, visual, or temperature, not the right to interrupt. But you are recognized now if you'd like to speak.
The gentleman answered me directly, or accusatorily answered me directly. The point is there's 11 recreation facilities in the town. Nine of them are south of the connector, or eight of them. Three are above. That's a disparity. Whether you like it or not, it's a disparity. I'm not making that up. The town put out a post about how they maintain 11 different places. It was 10, and I found out there was an 11th one that they missed, that the Public Services Department maintains these 11 facilities for the rec department. And where they are located is not an opinion. It's a fact. So when you look at having five things in a half-mile radius, that is a disparity for other people who have to trudge across traffic to get to this stuff. So that's why I bring up the Darby building as something that some of those usage could be done right in this building. Some of them could go elsewhere in the town. That's why I brought it up.
Mr. Bustos?
Yeah, so many times Mr. Kinane, it seems that we get away. This side of town, you know, when I was a kid, the town limit was Ben Sawyer Boulevard. Of course there's more on this side of town because it's a couple hundred years old. And Carolina Park and Park West are probably 30, 40 years old. So certainly the older part of town is going to have more in it. And as this town has evolved, things have moved up. We simply can't snap our fingers or blink our eyes and give Carolina Park and Park West hundreds of years of history and ball fields and everything else. This has been evolving for, as I said, hundreds of years. And we've recognized, and I think drainage was a specific problem, that as we repaired it here, then we'd repair the middle of town, and then by that time, Park West and Carolina Park will need to be refurbished. So we really need to keep our eye on the ball. You know that, but to get to that building, you know, that was once the Berkeley County town hall or town or county center, because Mount Pleasant was the seat of Berkeley County. So there are a lot of historic things, and you can't replace that. You can't move it to the other part, side of town. Now, we've got an old portion of town, and it's going to have things that have evolved there and been built there through the years. And as it moves up, it's going to get to the upper reaches of town. Yeah, just let's be patient.
Yes, sir.
In order to be patient, it's one piece at a time. That's my point. I'm not picking on the Darby building. I'm not picking on the people in that area. But we have empty space here in this building. Some of those usage might be able to happen here. That's my point. And we have complaints from people. We thought it was a big issue until we only had six people show up to complain about the parking on those streets. We're adding town services into a residential neighborhood that's squeezed for parking. So it might be something to look at. At least we should know what the value is on the building, and we can make a decision. Is that worth it, or could we do two other locations elsewhere in town with that money? Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. DeMore, back to you.
Yes, sir. So that's all. Today was just presenting you with the document, giving you an overview. Hopefully we did our best at giving you a decent feel for what's in it. And happy – I know we don't meet formally until committees, but if you have any questions, it's a big document. Please do not hesitate to contact me or a member of the staff.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Eric, have there been any discussions, probably have been discussions, but has there been anything determined about possible alternate sources of revenue in the town somewhere? I know we in the past have talked about parking. Mm-hmm. We've talked about recreation fees or maybe improving some event situations where there may be something, but I really appreciate what you have for us. It's really extensive and it's good, and I love the beginning that showed where all this came from and where it's going. But there's two sides to the budget, and I'm not a cut guy. I'm like the other guy. I'm the one that said, what can we do to get more revenue so that we can continue to do more? And I was just curious to know if there's anything that we could consider that could help in the revenue end as opposed to trying to see what we can cut on the other end.
Yes, sir. As you know very, very well, we're only allowed to raise what the state legislature allows us for options.
Right.
And so there are only a handful, and they come down to fees for service, whether it's recreation or something else, that's an option. Stormwater, right, is a fee for service. Right. Ad valorem taxes, business licenses. And I'm sure I'm missing one other one or so, but that's really it. You know, it's there are things we could do, but they would require someone's going to have to pay more for it,
yeah,
in order for it to happen. Yeah. What I and I think you all know this, and I say this respectfully, we can't reach 10, 20, 30 new employees, and any of the unfunded capital projects without growing the tax base, the tax revenue to the town. That is really what's provided for us. And in all the forms of taxation, it's widely known as the fairest. because it's based on value. And so we can, there's no question, we can find other ways to raise little pockets here and there, and we should. But we can't reach some of the priorities that are in the proposed budget and financial plan without an adjustment to taxation.
Can I, just one more thing.
You're the finance chair. We're ready for you to go to town, man.
Yeah, thank you. My last comment will play off of my first comment. And what we saw was we're getting less revenue. Well, the arrow is going up slower than it's gone up in the past from a revenue standpoint. And our costs are going up. Things like retirement and that we have no control over really affect the budget in a great way. And there's nothing we can do with it. I've said this before, and it's very unpopular, and I've also said I don't care. But our citizens in this town are getting a break on the taxes that they pay. It's not popular, especially during an election year, to even bring this up. But again, when we talk about fair and who should pay what, right now, in my opinion, not in my opinion, it's a fact, the people are paying less money than it costs us to service them. And I think that if we explain this to the public, that I think they would at least understand. They may not like it, but that they'll at least understand why we've had to increase the tax base over the years. What we've done in the past is we've grown our budget based on growth. Well, we've all been hired to stop the growth, and we're doing it. Well, guess what? That affects the revenues. And if we don't do something otherwise, you know, I think we're going to – it's going to be tough. The citizens of this town don't want us to go backwards. They don't want the services to go back. We've got a great town. We've got the great people doing great things. But it costs money. It costs us money. And the people should pay 20 or 30 or 40 more bucks a year just to get and keep the great things that we have in this town. I'll stop. Yes, I'm saying I think we should propose raising taxes. At least I am.
Well, let me make a couple of comments before we wrap up, unless there's others. One is, if you're a member of the press, there is no motion before this council to raise taxes, so that would be the headline. This was a five-year budget outlook proposed by staff of ways to enhance revenues. It hasn't even been discussed other than in a staff presentation today, so let's put the rumor mill to rest. A couple of things I want to ask. Did we, as we looked at these proposed revenues, we over the last 3 years have had a huge building boom in this town, some very expensive properties. You look at the properties at Ferry Wharf right now, right at the foot of the bridge, you know, off discussed. It seems like our revenues should be going up considerably based on the building boom. I mean, at one time we had 1,370 hotel rooms being constructed. We've had 2,000 apartments and all that. So I guess the question I would have is the same that a lot of citizens would have, is if we're seeing this kind of expensive real estate built, then where's the increase in revenue?
It's a great question. The increase is exactly in the line item that you're talking about. Our biggest area of growth is on the property tax side, and that's reflected. It's all the other areas of revenue that are flattening out pretty considerably, and we can't count on anymore. What's interesting is, you know, for some of that property, they're paying whatever the tax rate is, and we're receiving that, but it just isn't we don't always get much of it. We'll get it on the property tax side, but on the sales tax side, we have to give away back to homeowners, as you know, to reduce their property taxes. We give away, I think it's 73 or 71% of that money. So at the end of the day, of all the things that some of those new properties bring in, we only get to keep a portion.
Mr. Santos, did you
have? Yeah, I just want to, you know, I spoke earlier about recreation. That's, in my opinion, after all these years of looking at budgets, and we've got one of the top recreation minds right here working with us, That's what he does, travel around the country and tell people what they need to do in recreation to better it. And so we have such a golden opportunity. I mean, I think we made $180,000 last year off of our camps, but we had to turn people away because our facilities, we don't have enough to increase it. That's a prime opportunity for us to get revenue. Our park, which is north of the Isle of Palms connector on Rifle Range Road, it's a beautiful facility there. If we develop that such that we can bring in tournaments and bring in more revenue. So I think recreation, we need to look strongly about seeing what we can do with recreation to increase the revenue for the town. Because like you said before, a lot of our departments can't increase recreation. I mean, if police did it, they'd swear they were writing tickets because they were trying to help the budget. But recreation can do this kind of stuff. And I think if we concentrate on that, and get Tom to work with us a little bit on it, tell us what they're doing in other parts of the country that can help us increase revenue. I mean, it's there. That's one of the opportunities that we have with this town to increase our revenue is recreation. And I know I keep preaching about it, but I think we need to look at it now after looking at this budget and see what can we do to increase it, our camps, and maybe being able to bring in tournaments here. And 'cause that money can go to police, and that money can go to the town's general fund to help pay for some of these things.
It can certainly help. You know, it's probably going to cost us $30 million to develop Rifle Range Road, probably just our portion. So even if we bonded it over a 15-year period, that'll be $1.8, $1.9 million a year. So that we'd have to bring in a lot of recreation to meet that. But if we could cut into it substantially, that would certainly help.
Yeah.
You know, we could do a lot more for people, have more camps and things like you're talking about. You know?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, two things. One is a recap of something I've already said. A tremendous amount, and thank you for that, of our budget is allocated each year to our capital improvement plan. Mm-hmm. And by the very nature of it, capital improvement often means fixing things, but it also means expanding and building things. So I'm just going to repeat that a private-public partnership, carefully done and focused, can have a big impact. And I don't mean renaming things. I mean we can add on. And coming from the corporate world, I can tell you that, and I think most people recognize, millions of dollars a year are spent on advertising and other ways of getting names out and giving back to the community. This is a way that if we had something that on a 10- or 20-year legacy basis, a company or several, I've already made a list here of a number of our companies that are very active in the community, but probably would jump at the chance to help have something that's a legacy that helps their business create a very positive goodwill for the town of Mount Pleasant. The second thing, and so that's a revenue source that it sounds to me like we really have not pursued that much. The second thing is, and I've learned all aspects of this, we have a reassessment next year on property taxes. And what I've learned because of the fact that we have to normalize that number, so if property taxes, I'm going to not use the cap being 15% over 5 years, but let's say we have a reassessment by Charleston County of 10% of the values approximately in Mount Pleasant. I'm sure the public probably knows this, but since I didn't know it earlier, I'm going to share, we have to then bring the mills down to make it so that people don't have an increase in their Mount Pleasant taxes, and then as a council we have to vote to increase it back up. I believe if someone is living in a home in Mount Pleasant and after 5 years they've had a 10% increase in the value of their home, they probably wouldn't feel great about paying more taxes, but they would understand that we might need to raise that from, say it goes from 41, I'm just throwing numbers out, 0.41 to 0.38. That if we then raise it back to 0.40, it's still lower. So compared to everybody around us, and if we have a good business reason, which I've asked around, that's the thing they want to hear. There's a good business reason, such as greatly expanding our firefighter service. If there's a good business reason, then people understand. But that's not increasing our millage.
Thank you. Yes, sir, Ms. Collins.
Yeah, real quickly, Mayor. Tom brought up, you know, the fact that he believes that the only way to increase revenue is going to be through taxation. We've also got to keep an eye on stormwater. And stormwater fees, we don't have the funding necessary at this point to fund the necessary projects that we're looking at. And truly, the stormwater is going to require a dedicated stormwater allocation program. We're talking about $30 million. And So we've got to take a look at the long term on how that's going to affect the town going forward. And it doesn't stop. It's not going to stop. Right now we pay $60, I think, a month per household. And, you know, for that to go up a few dollars is something that's going to have to be discussed pretty thoroughly here. No, you know, I'm not in favor for raising taxes, but the fact remains is that in order to have a viable community, we've got to have the infrastructure in place to serve this community. And that's really and truly the only way to go about protecting the stormwater. And once we go beyond fixing the old village and for Hobcaw, there's going to be others that are going to fall prey to preventative maintenance and possibly replacement. And so this is really something that this council needs to take a good, long, hard look at. And I would just make that as a recommendation for future exercises, Mayor.
Thank you.
Nothing
else from
nothing
staff. Anything else from council? I think we should follow us from council. I think we should follow us from council.